If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here and checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. Of course, you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests here lately. Petula Clark, Don McLean, some great musicians from the 60s and 70s there. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips. We talked with Catalina Sandino Moreno and Sasha Calle about The Rip, starring Ben Affleck and Matt Damon on Netflix. Stephen Knight, creator of Peaky Blinders, along with Malachi Kirby, joined me to discuss A Thousand Blows on Disney and Hulu. Nico Case was here. She's got a brand new record called Midnight Green, Neon Gray. Amy Mann, Joe Henry, Walker Scobell, he plays Percy Jackson on the new Disney series. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, we are going to catch up with the cast of Shrinking once again to talk about season three. Jessica Williams, Krista Miller, Ted McGinley, and Michael Urie. We're all going to talk about season three. It's playing on Apple TV Plus and how it might be the show's richest chapter yet. The cast is going to talk about how the series keeps deepening its characters without losing the jokes, from Gabby's emotionally loaded monologues and Brian figuring that he doesn't have life figured out, to Derek finally stepping out from behind the Zen smile, and Liz living a full-throttle anxiety year-round. We'll also hear about some needle drops. Krista Miller, she's also the music soup. One unforgettable Les Mis sing-along watched silently by Harrison Ford, and a whole lot more. We're going to start with my conversation with Jessica Williams. Of course, she plays Gabby on the show, and she's going to break down Gabby's standout moments this season, including those big emotional monologues, what it takes to mentally prep for scenes that hit that hard that early in the day. She's also going to nerd out over watching Harrison Ford somehow level up even further, reflect on the joy of working with stars like Michael J. Fox, and answer the very real question of why clients on this show keep wandering in the kitchen like it's an Airbnb. So let's jump into it. This is part one, talking about season three of Shrinking on Apple TV. It's Kyle Meredith with Jessica Williams.
Jessica, hi Kyle. Is that a garbage poster back there?
Yes, it is, and no one ever put that one out.
Yeah, cool, man.
I'm in a big campaign to get them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's got to happen.
They're not in it.
They're not in it yet.
Is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame like the DMV? Like, is it just a slow process? Because they should have been in it. Like, in, I would say 2005, they should have gotten it.
Yeah. Right. There's a thing. It's like, I think it's like 21 years after your first single, then you're eligible.
Yes. Okay. I didn't
yeah,
know
the
that.
moment, I agree.
Cool. Thanks for talking to me about that. I'll see
I'm
you
glad we
later.
got that started, right?
We have our marching orders. See you
Yes,
later.
we do. Let me be one of the many, I'm sure, to congratulate you on an outstanding new season.
No,
of
I'll
this.
take it, honestly, because it sucks ass when people don't like it. And
do you get that a lot?
You can tell. No, you could just tell when you're on a project. It happens to actors all the time. You can tell when you're on a project and the critics don't like it and you have to sit and do this for 15 hours and it's dog shit. So I do really appreciate it and I'll take every single compliment. So thank you so much.
I purposely only watched about half the season because I really want to watch it in real time
I
with my wife.
it.
And
I eat my Reese's. I eat it in a circle line and then I save the middle because I want that part. So I
well,
can
that's it. But I don't mind saying, like, I honestly think even half the season in, I think it's my favorite season, which is outstanding because
awesome.
You guys
Oh
do
my
such
God.
Great work on this.
Yeah, I had that. I thank you. And I felt like season two was amazing. And I especially felt Harrison Ford in season two was unbelievable. But this season three, I don't know what is going on. That man is a maniac, but he is beyond locked in and he is blowing my mind every
When he's
episode.
just holding the baby and
And
he
he
says,
just says,
enjoy the
enjoy the
ride.
ride. I just got
Yeah.
chills thinking about that. I got
That's
chills thinking
it.
about
That's
that.
it.
Unbelievable. Like
But
that, even that.
you've had your moments too. Like there's the get on with your life speech that you get to do really early
Oh
on.
yeah, with Brett. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
Yeah.
that's on a day like that, like do you have to ramp into that? Is there a process
Yeah.
to getting into that headspace?
There is. Yeah, I think auditioning sometimes is so counter to the actual process of acting on a set. Auditioning is really hard. You sit in a waiting room with 40 people that look like you and you go in and you have 2 minutes. But when you get the job, you can ask, for example, if you can go first up, or you can ask if it's your first scene of the day so that you can come loaded. Like, you know, you have to do the work and the prep that morning or the night before so that you're ready to go. And so for me, I talked to our line producer and I was like, please, pretty please, is it possible that that's my first scene? You don't want to have to, it's like a big presentation at work. Like you're thinking about it for a week before you're like, okay, I have that scene with Brett. Like I better show up and, you know, give it. So, but into shrinking, they want the show to be good. So they set it up where that was my first scene of the day. And Zach Braff was directing that episode. I love our crew. I'm a people pleaser. I came in and was like, look, guys, I'm still your friend. I just have to kind of hold it for a second so that I could just do the scene. And then as soon as it's done, like, let's do bits again. And they were super respectful and cool. And then it was easy. It was just the writing was great. So it was just saying the words and listening to what I was saying. That's
Yeah,
it for
you
like
deserve
two
some
minutes.
awards for that.
Oh,
I'm
thank you.
honest about
That's really
that. Yeah,
nice. Thank
yeah.
you.
On the more trivial fun side, since this
Yeah,
is a
let's do it.
shorty interview here, I think that this place might need a receptionist for all of the clients that just bust into the
Yeah.
kitchen. It has dawned
Yeah.
on me, why is there no safeguard?
Paul, don't you think it's more of a Paul issue? Like Paul's like, what? I'm gonna pay somebody else? No, figure it out. I feel like that's something Gabby would totally say to Paul, actually. But it's hard to get Paul to do anything. And that is not something that I could see a man in his 80s willingly getting a receptionist for himself. You know, it just, why would he do that?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it leads to good comedy anyway, so I can't complain there.
I know. That's a great idea, though. Thank you.
The guests are great. I'll wrap up with this. Did you get any hang time with Michael J. Fox or Jeff
No,
Daniels?
not hang time because he was working, but I did when I wrapped, like stay so I could watch him and Harrison work together. And I got chills watching it. And he's an absolute legend and he's magic on the camera and he's so freaking funny. And he's really funny in this season. And it's an honor to have him and fuck Parkinson's. And he's great.
Fuck Parkinson's.
Yeah.
It's always great to talk to you. Congratulations
Thank
again. I
you.
can't
I
wait to
appreciate you.
congratulate you on the next season as well.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith. We're talking about season three of Shrinking. Now my conversation with Krista Miller, who plays next door neighbor Liz, who's always very tightly wound up and wildly entertaining. Krista's also the show's music supervisor, so we're going to break down how music choices, some of those really unexpected needle drops, shape the emotional punch of this season, including songs she's been chasing for years, and finally landing right at exactly the right moments. She'll also open up how Liz is from her real life, why the character's anxiety and accountability makes her so fun to play, and why she never really gets to put Liz away between seasons. This is part two, talking about Shrinking. It's Kyle Meredith with Krista Miller.
Hi, Kyle.
It's great to see you again. Compliment you on the newest season.
Thank you.
I have once again fallen in love with these characters. You all do so well on the show. Although where I usually start, I got to start on the music because, again, I'm always so happy anytime I hear a placement on here because it's always so perfect.
Thank you.
I was wondering, like, do you have a favorite placement that's happened?
And is it
REM?
I love the REM, but what was your, aside from REM, what was your favorite placement?
That was my favorite one because I didn't see that one coming. I didn't mind hearing Every Morning at the beginning, but Bon Iver, that Speyside, oh, that was
so good, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a killer.
Yeah.
I loved that Brandi Carlile song. You know, my daughter's fiance produced her album and introduced me to her. And I heard that song 2 years ago. And I was like, anyway, I need it for shrinking. And he said, it's not out yet. And I kept telling Brandi, like, I need it for shrinking. And then last season, we were like working out the months, but it'll still be. And it didn't work out. And then this season, Brandi called me and said, we have four shows asking for it. Do you guys want it? And I'm like, yes. And we're in the middle of shooting. But I knew, and it was actually good that I couldn't have it last season because if you saw the finale, they wrote to it. It was the perfect placement. It gives me goosebumps just telling you about it. And I also had thought about it so much in my head, and it's the perfect place for it. That's where I envisioned it 2 years ago.
And she doesn't miss a mark, man. Like, you put her music to, you could probably, when people say you could sing the phone book, like, you could put her music to just about anything and it's going to work because it's so good.
It's so good. But that song in particular,
yeah.
Also, I was like, why would you even waste it on last season? Of course, it's going to be exactly for this particular thing, which you knew was happening. And I'm like, I know. That's a dummy box.
Well, big compliments on that one. And sing Liz this time, like, she gets something to focus on, you know, but she also gets to play around with that. I mean, neuroses or whatever we call, like, I'd love to hear about going in, like what you wanted to bring to the character this season.
Look, Liz is so different than I am. I would say opposite a kind of person than I am. And she has so many plates spinning. I mean, I would get the script and be like, oh, what are you doing? How am I going to make this work? Shut myself in my office and be like, how does this, like the motivation for why? And I think it's why it's so fun to play this part is because Liz is, you know, accountable. She's will do a repair. She, of course, blurts things that has no restraint of what she's saying, but she's trying to be better. And she will acknowledge if someone says stop, you know, she'll be like, okay. You know, she's not like a monster. You can tell her to stop and she'll stop.
Like, do you think about her between seasons? Do you put her away or do you?
Here's the problem. Before we start shooting a season, I've got 4 months of working on the music and putting all new songs and thinking of the music, which immediately gets me into Liz. Then when we wrap, I've got 4 months of putting in the music, watching the episodes, being in Liz, being in that character. So I'm never not in Liz. So no, I can't put that character away. Or if yes, do I think about her every day? Yes.
But she doesn't infiltrate you. Like you said, it's so opposite.
No, like if my kids are bugging me, I'll be like, put my phone on do not disturb and see, like, just why don't you cool your heels for 3 hours? Liz would never do that. No, she's not tumbling into my personal life. I'm just like, you know, I get it.
Well, it's such, again, it's such a great season. It's such a great cast. And I love what you do. And especially with the music, all the compliments, as always.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back right after this. All right, welcome back. Talking season 3 of Shrinking on Apple TV. Now my conversation with Ted McGinley. Of course, you know him from Married with Children, Revenge of the Nerds, etc. He plays Derek, Liz's husband, and also the next door neighbor on the series. And Ted and I are going to talk about Derek's journey, how it's taken that turn from the zen-like optimism. I mean, that still exists, but into something deeper, messier, more human. Ted's going to dig into what it meant to explore Derek beyond the smile. why he thinks of the character as an iceberg, and how grateful he is that the writers trusted him with the darker emotional space as well. And he'll also talk about the pairings, getting to pair up with Krista Miller, Jessica Williams, Jason Segel, Harrison Ford. So part three of this shrinking episode, it's Kyle Meredith with Ted McGinley.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing?
I'm well. It's great to see you again. Congratulations on another fine season.
Thank you. Did you see it?
I have seen, you know what? I've watched half of it on purpose.
You like it?
Oh, I love it because I fall in love with these characters. And I fall in love with these characters so much that I have to stop myself so I can watch the rest of it with everybody else when it comes out.
So it's funny. I was just having this conversation that for a long time, I was running lines with my wife. And then after season one, I kind of stopped because I wanted to watch it with her and not have her know what's going on in the show. So it's kind of, it's really fun to watch it with people and to feel a reaction and then that anticipation of, well, what happens? Mm-hmm. I love that.
And the conversations you get to have and the cries you get to have together. And yeah. I will say, you know, watching Derek this season, because he'd gone through some darkness last season and kind of, you know, he's out to come out the other side here. Like, does that change like how you entered the character this time around?
Well, I think one, that the fact that they trusted me enough to explore more depth with Derek, because you never know. I didn't know. I was sort of a day player initially, and then it sort of grew because they created this character that people responded to. They get all the credit for that. And so the fact that they allowed me to keep going with it is a godsend. To be honest with you, it's just amazing. Wonderful. I thought I'm honored to get to play a guy like Derek, and the fact that they've let him explore, you get to see that he's just not this smiley face. He's a complex guy. And yeah. I would say, I like to make the analogy that Derek is an iceberg. You're seeing this. Underneath is all this. And it's a real foundation he's got, but he has something sort of magical about him.
Yeah.
I think that.
I agree with you. I think everybody agrees with you. And it's showed on the show too. And I'll also say it's fun watching, you know, because they'll do the different pairings, right?
Yeah.
They kind of find. And a lot of this, especially the first half of this season, I was just talking with Michael about this. It ends up being a bit of the Brian and Derek show, which is fun to watch. Is there a pairing that you...
He's so much fun to play opposite.
It looks like it would be.
Well, and the two characters are diametrically opposed on the surface. So Derek's so open and he's so not, and it works. It's actually interesting.
I was going to say, is there a pairing that you find comes natural, maybe more than others to you?
Well, with Liz, what I love working with Krista is that I can't tell what's going to come. Mm-hmm. You never know how it's going to come out. And she's so complicated that I think it's beautiful. And I think that Krista Miller does an amazing job playing Liz. And so the two of them together are complex and interesting. I really enjoy that. Ted McGinley loves working with Jessica because Jessica Williams is like, it's like a boxing match and you don't know where it's going to come from. That's really fun. And Jason is like this beautiful, warm chair that you sit in, this great club chair. And then every so often, he'll just shock you to no end and you'll never know it's coming. I love that about him. Harrison is like, it's like working with a 16-year-old. It's just really fun. I mean, there's not one person. My favorite thing is that you can work with every single, I'm not in their professional world. Harrison doesn't live in our neighborhood, his character, but we've melded it together. And that again is like this genius writing. And can't believe I get to be a part of that.
I love watching it. I love watching it. I love watching you be stoned in this one and everything that come with this season. As usual, I had so much fun. Ted, thank you so much for what you do and taking the time to talk.
Thank you so much.
All right, now let's move to part four, my conversation with Michael Urie.
He plays Brian, who's one of Jason Segel's oldest friends, and this season he gets his life turned upside down because he and his husband get a new baby. Michael's going to talk about how the character's confidence has slowly been chipped away over the three seasons, why that long form evolution is the real gift of TV, and how Brian finally realizing he doesn't have everything figured out has really made this role even richer. He's also going to dig into one of my favorite moments of the season. Brian and Jimmy belting out Les Mis in the car while Harrison Ford silently steals the scene with his reactions alone. All that and more. Here is part four of our shrinking talk. It's Kyle Meredith with Michael Urie.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
It's great to see you again. Congratulations on a great third season.
Thank you. That's so nice.
Watching all of you all grow and the new character growth that we get this one, of course, Brian gets a baby. Yeah. This season. Did that change how you got to play with the character?
Oh yeah. What I love about this arc that Brian is on is that he thought he knew everything when we first met him. He thought that everything goes my way over and over again. And as the show has gone on from season one to two to three, you realize it's not like that at all. And so does he. And that's the cool part. That's the best part about doing TV is that you play a character that changes. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a movie, you play one arc of a character. If you're in a play, it's, you know, a short glimpse of a person's life, usually. I mean, sometimes you'll be in an epic story that spans a life, but this is more like real life because I didn't know where this character was going, and neither did anyone, neither did the writers, just like real life. Like, we don't really know what's going to happen to us. And to play a guy who is on top of the world and thinks he's figured everything out, only to realize over the course of three seasons, oh no, he does not have everything figured out, and he's finding out the hard way.
Well, it's still fun watching him find out that hard way about it. Yeah. You mentioned the stage, and I love that you kind of get to bring that into the world too, because the scene of you and Jason doing the show tunes in the car is one of the best moments of the entire season.
Oh, good.
How much did you all have to practice that? What's the story there?
I'll be honest, we didn't have to practice at all because we already knew the song. So I got a knock on my trailer door and Bill Lawrence came in and he was like, all right, I got this idea. It's a little strange. We're thinking about putting a scene in where you and Jason sing the song, The Confrontation from Les Mis. And he didn't even finish. And I said, am I Valjean or Javert? Because I was ready. I knew exactly what he was talking about and I knew exactly what I was going to do. And Jason and I were totally giddy. It was like 2 weeks later that we shot it. We were giddy. Every time we saw each other, we were like children, giddy. And we would practice. We didn't need to. We already knew it, but we would practice on stage. But we never practiced around Harrison. If Harrison was around, we kept mum because we didn't, obviously he doesn't know Les Mis and we didn't want him to, you know, we wanted it to be a completely genuine reaction, and it totally was. And so when you see, but this is my favorite part about this whole scene is that we couldn't wait. We were giddy. We were excited. And then we gave it our all. We weren't playing Jimmy and Brian anymore. We were playing Valjean and Javert. And yet when you watch it, your eyes can't go away from Harrison.
Of him watching you all, it's so perfect.
He steals the whole scene. That is a movie star. He steals the whole scene from us without any words and in the background.
I smiled the whole way through. I wanted to clap at the end of it. I really did. It was fantastic. And I also want to quickly bring up, because a lot of this season, it feels like the Brian and Derek show. Like, the little adventures. I don't know. Was that obvious to you as well, I guess?
I love that. I mean, what I love is that in so many ways, Brian and Derek are alike, but yet they're like two sides of the same coin in some ways. Mm-hmm. And so I love whenever we get to play together. This is a show where any two character combo is going to work. And I love any opportunity to play with any of them, but going on adventures with Derek and really spending a day with Ted McGinley is is always going to be a good day. It's always going to be a sweet, lovely, wonderful day. That guy's got stories. My gosh, his life, his career is so funny and fun and wonderful. And he, you know, like sometimes you'll be talking about something so random and he'd be like, oh yeah, I danced with them on the set of The Love Boat. Yeah, we had a whole love affair in that. And like, oh my God, that's where you in The Love Boat. Or he'd be like, yeah, this is a PA on Happy Days. Like what? You were on, oh my God, he was on Happy Days. His career is so fun and wonderful. And I think they're a cute match. They're just a really cute match.
I agree. And I love the entire season. Seriously, thank you all for what you do. And it's always great to catch up with you.
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it. Thank you very much.
And there you go. My thanks to Michael, Ted, Krista, and Jessica. Season 3 of Shrinking is now playing on Apple TV+. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. If you're not already, you're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week from Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music and bonus interviews, lots of music news, film news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Dave Matthews Band, The Charlatans, Lifesavers, The Cranberries, Betty Carter, Led Zeppelin, Bruce Springsteen, Damian Jurado, Nico Case, Kim Gordon, The Foo Fighters, The Intelligence, Snail Mail, The Pixies, Flea, and my interviews with Sarah McLachlan, Minnie Driver, and Adam Lambert. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.